Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Church Talk Live.
Bill and Chris Tenney-Britton here today to talk to you about some power pointers. Now, we're talking specifically to churches that are using screen technology, you know, using PowerPoint or MediaShout or Song Show Plus or whatever it is you're using to project stuff up on your screen during worship. Now, the reason we're talking about this is because it's done badly in the vast majority of churches.
Regardless of size.
Even mega churches make the same mistakes that I see that very small churches do. By and large, most churches could save themselves a ton of money by just buying an overhead projector and using acetate slides on their overhead, their screen, because almost everything they put up there is a still image or, more often, words. And most often, bullet points.
But we're going to get there.
We're going to talk about that. You know, there is a lot more that can be done and can help communicate your message and everything to your congregation, if you will use the full power of projection.
Well, let's talk about that power of projection. You know, it's more than entertainment. I see this back and forth that the people are trying to entertain up there, but the opposite is kind of almost true, because God forbid that a church would do anything that looked like entertainment.
Never mind that Jesus used parables and stories, which in that day was the way we had entertainment.
Or the choir, you know, come on.
Now
let's say the choir, even be part of entertainment. So, you know,
entertainment can inspire. Entertainment
sure.
can motivate.
Right.
Entertainment, when done well, does more than amuse you.
But this is more than entertainment,
right,
is what we're talking about. And it's more than just putting some words up there on a screen without.
Well, and because to get past entertainment, it's more than entertainment. It's not just. It goes beyond it. It becomes a window because it drives home the point.
Right.
But it doesn't just drive home the point by making the point and writing it up on the screen. You know, the point is point A, point B, point C. Well, you just said it. That doesn't drive home the point. It just puts it in print.
Right. Well, you know, PowerPoint really, or whatever, projection, really allows us to invite reflection and expand our understanding. It rounds out what we're saying. It's really great for those of us that aren't so aural, that we want to and need to see some more. I can't tell you how many times seeing something up there on the screen just really, in a way, takes me somewhere else. Oh my gosh, that it would take me somewhere else. But in going there, it expands what is trying to be communicated.
And then finally, the power of good presentation is that it maintains your interest. You know, again, just doing bullet point 1, 2, and 3, or filling in the blanks 1, 2, and 3, that doesn't maintain interest. It just, you know, fills in the blanks,
right,
or helps to, you know, people who need to read it. But all of that, the reading and the rest, is really all aimed at a generation that grew up on listening carefully,
right,
and reading carefully.
Right.
And we're now at least 4 generations beyond that. We're past the image generation. We're past the MTV generation. We're even getting beyond the straight digital generation and into participation or what comes next in the way of helping people understand. And so we want to talk a little bit about how to get past the bullets.
So what we want to do now is offer you some power pointers, some pointers for using projection power. And the first of those we've already hinted at, if not really explained, and that is limit the use of word-driven presentations. Limit and maybe even no don't use bullet points.
Now, of course, this is not talking about putting the words of the songs up there.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
you
gotta
to
have that. But when it comes to, you know, expressing, if Easter was just coming up, then you might, instead of having, you know, Jesus rose, Jesus lives, whatever, you might have, when you talk about resurrection, you might have a picture of, what was it, Greensburg?
Yeah.
That was devastated by a tornado. And maybe find some of the old pictures as they began. Maybe they lifted up the very first power generator. Or, you know, there's a picture of a black and white with a red poppy coming out. Or something like that. You know, something that takes you off in a different direction. It opens up for reflection.
So kind of what you're talking about is using metaphors, right?
Exactly.
Metaphorical images. So something like a dead tree with something new growing out of it. And I personally like, rather than juxtaposing pictures, but to show something in progress, right? If we're talking resurrection, that you could show, say, Greensburg, or I'm thinking about the tornado that devastated parts of Joplin, where you have these houses which are still in horrendous shape, but you have the ones next door to them that are going up, that are changing. But you can come up with those images, and if you can't,
and video.
And video, sure, okay.
You could use, and there you can find on YouTube, you can find a number of videos that have the caterpillar that turns into a chrysalis, that turns into a butterfly, and does it in, you know, 20, 30 seconds, this time lapse. And you could, you know, again, something that takes you a little bit further than just resurrection.
Well, one of my favorite videos that we used so many years ago, and I honestly don't know if it's still around, but we love to use it during communion. It was kind of like ant-looking people, but they
stick
were
drawings,
walking
yeah.
straight. It was incredible and really lined out the coming in, the movement in towards what could be associated with communion, and it just grabbed your attention. And sure, some people look down. Well, you know, if they're looking down and not out there, they're not paying any attention anyway.
Or they're able to reflect without image, and that's great.
Yeah.
A lot of people can, but there's a whole lot of us who we need
right.
something to take us in to the next level.
Right. And even today, my ways of moving in to communion, these communion meditations, have been so expanded because of what I've seen on screens. So, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so imagery is really, it should be complementary, not just a restatement. You know, think tangential. How can you take what you've been saying and broaden that? Really broaden it out.
Now, we have to say that this isn't easy, at least to begin with, unless you're a natural creative, at which case, none of this is news for you because you've been doing it all along.
Right, right.
But, you know, it takes some time to really sit and think. Now, we want to say that this is important enough that you should be taking the time for this because it is how you can best communicate with generations today that just don't do the words, that doesn't inspire them, that it helps take them to another level. So, you know, look for, as you say, the tangential, the metaphoric. And you don't need to title it. You just throw it up there.
Right.
You don't need to call attention to it unless it's a video, because you need to stop talking while the video goes, unless, of course, it's a silent video, which, you know, that could play while you're preaching. You know, it's just you're looking for expansion, tangential, metaphorical, beyond just restating what you said.
Well, you know, I really like that idea of complementing, right? So that while you're preaching, you know, so many of us preachers, we put so much time into our messages, an hour only, please. Anyways, we put that
First
time in, so right. We want you to pay attention to us, and we forget about how we can work together with whatever media it is that we're going to use. Well, let's talk about increasing video use. And, you know, a lot of ministers are the ones who are putting together the PowerPoint. But when I work with worship teams, what I find is that you've got people that are running your PowerPoint or your media shot who are putting those pieces together, who've taken the time to begin to master or to master that. And they're going to have ideas. And when you, again, you circle yourself around with these worship teams, people are going to bring those pieces together or at least have some idea, and they're the ones who will go on the hunt for them. Preachers, it's not your job to come up with that.
And to build on that, for instance, on YouTube in 2013, every minute, 72 hours of video is uploaded into YouTube. You can't even possibly keep up with it. Here's the deal. You have multiple people who are hitting on that YouTube now and again. They're seeing this and they're seeing that. That is a rich, rich source of exactly what we're talking about. Plus, you know, just there's images everywhere. You can take your camera with you or, hey, how about that cell phone?
Yeah.
And take those pictures that you see. Oh, wow. And, you know, as you build up a catalog, you can begin adding them. But, you know, video is huge these days.
Well, I'm thinking, in addition to YouTube, get up on Facebook. You know, if you've got a youth group and they've got a Facebook page, they're always putting things up there. Or with your with younger adults, I mean, I'm just always seeing these videos where they're saying, hey, go over here and check that out. Well, of course, you want to tap into your teenagers.
Man, they could create video,
yeah,
you know, on a whim. You know, so often we only look at the adults as if they're the experts. Well, when it comes to video right now, a 14-year-old runs circles around most 30-year-olds. They just know how to do it. They're doing it naturally, doing their phones. Go ahead.
But you got to encourage them to be creative, because what they have seen in church is this non-creative piece. And when they are creative, it's outside of the church. So we have to encourage them, unleash their creativity, and let them know that it's going to be okay and that is okay, and celebrate them.
Right. Now, just to add the last little caps, I guess, of what I want to say is, you know, it's not just your sermon.
Right.
Consider using video for your announcement. Make commercials, and if they're humorous, all the better. Look for transitions that move you through the service and helps you move, you know, from one point, maybe from the offering into the communion or vice versa, or from before the choir stands up, you know, that little dead time while the choir is getting into place, something that helps transition there and gets you, again, through tangential imagery or video into place. And look for, you know, again, not just your core communication parts, but throughout the whole service, how can we bring imagery and video to our screen that takes people to the next level?
Right.
Now, I want to point out that on our handout that you can get to or have access to two of Seth Godin's PowerPoint blogs about how to use imagery and video in screen technology.
Well, I want to throw out one more resource for you, and that's Evernote. If you can take pictures, put them in your Evernote, and you know, every 30 minutes or every hour, every 2 hours, put a little beep on your calendar or something, your watch, that will say, hey, take a picture. And just turn around you and take a picture of where you are. You will find that those are some wonderful inspirations, and there are ways that you are going to be able to share those.
All right. We're out of time. Ooh. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.